I'm going to read from Matthew. Hear these words, but don't just listen to them, really hear them. Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. You can be at peace. I'm not going to preach for 50 minutes. I'm also going over to the 1107 service following the sermon here to share the message over at 1107. Last weekend, I had an opportunity with Karen to go to Aniana, Alabama, which is where my daughter and son-in-law and grandson, Luke, live. And there we were touring out on a beautiful Saturday morning, a small mountain there in Aniana, and it has a fire tower. I told you about that last week, but it also had a small chapel that was so small, I would imagine 6 people in there would feel like a crowd. And it reminded me of the story of the gentleman who was lost on an island. He had been shipwrecked and lost there. He lived by himself for several years. And he had built a small chapel for worship so he could worship. And when he was finally rescued, his rescuer was interested in all he had done on the island since he'd been there all alone all these years. And he showed him his small chapel and told him how important it was to worship. And so as they were leaving and he was finally rescued, they looked back at the island again, and there was another building the rescuer had not seen before. And he said, that looks just like the chapel that we saw earlier. And he said, yeah, that's where I used to go to church before I got mad. A few weeks ago, a member of our congregation reported that we had a squeaking door in our sanctuary area, and it was distracting to our sanctuary. Squeaking doors are annoying and irritating to hear. No one wants to hear a squeaking door, much less a squeaking church door. No one wants squeaking, period. You know, our Heavenly Father in the kingdom of heaven, he must look down upon his church in various locations and various forms, and he must be terribly annoyed and irritated at some of the sounds he hears from churches, much like a squeaking door. Yes, those would be the unpleasant sounds of people blaming, pointing fingers, tearing other people down, even God's people tearing other God's people down. Where do these irritating sounds come from? If we've been in the church for any length of time, chances are you and I have been hurt, not only once, twice, many times over. For after all, the church is made up of imperfect people. So it is not too unusual that we would experience in times conflict, disagreements, and so on. It would not be too hard to explain that we sometimes lock our horns in disagreements, much like these horns shared with us of deer from this photo by Glenn Smith. We get our horns locked, and that's all we can see. When I first began in ministry years ago, I was actually still a teenager, and I heard Bishop Carl Sanders preach a sermon. He said about church people. Church people get mad the quickest over the littlest things, and they stay mad the longest. I wondered why the bishop had preached that sermon. But then 43 years later, I don't have any mystery about that anymore. In addition to getting mad the quickest over the littlest and staying mad the longest, I know also that church people get hurt. And they sometimes never get over it. Some leave the church. Some stop attending church. Some stop giving. And others give up on the church altogether. We know that when we're talking about Jesus, the church gets it right. But we know when we're talking about things other than Jesus, the church often gets it wrong. Things that are said in the church can be very hurtful. The little saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me." As Dr. Fred Craddock said, it's a beautiful little cute saying, but there's only one problem. It's simply not true. Words do hurt. They can devastate. So what do we do when we get hurt? And all of us will if we're in the church long enough. We get hurt, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to take personal responsibility and forgive others. That's the way of Jesus. Today, I want to ask the congregation's forgiveness for something that happened in 2019. For after all, as your lead pastor, I am responsible for the corporate soul of the congregation. And I ask for your forgiveness because there were some issues in 2019 that I did not realize the breadth and the depth of some of those issues. And I ask for your forgiveness. At 62 years old, I'm like a lot of you. I'm not really looking for any character builders or learning through the university of adversity. But like it or not, that's what has come over the past year. And I ask for your forgiveness for not offering the leadership needed by our congregation. People were hurt. Leaders, lay volunteers were hurt. Our staff was hurt. I have to own up to this as my role as your leader, and I ask for your forgiveness. I ask for your forgiveness in not communicating with you well enough. One of the signs of this failure to communicate was evident when this flyer was mailed out to many in our congregation. It came from some members of our congregation, but not from the church. This was very hurtful. I was devastated, really. A month later, my wife, Karen, was diagnosed with cancer. I was devastated already. I was even more devastated now. And I was so low, I thought about immediate retirement. Thanks be to God, through time, through hundreds of conversations, the Lord led me to a time of introspection. No, 62 is not too old to go through a character builder. It's not too old to learn through the university of adversity. Do I need to offer forgiveness? Yes. Do we together need to move more toward love and acceptance of people and not judge people? Yes. So after months of sadness, I started beginning to use all that had happened as a learning experience, a growing experience. And I think this flyer represents a failure to communicate. As the movie Cool Hand Luke said, what we have here is a failure to communicate. I ask for your forgiveness, and I ask one more thing of you. Let us resolve to work together that we never do this again, that the communication is what it needs to be in the church, and that we can be about serving our Lord. The second thing I'd like to ask of you today is I need your forgiveness, and I also need your help. We must use our adversity for lessons to be a stronger church in the future. We are learning from these actions, and we're taking steps to communicate more effectively in the future. If we can forgive each other and help each other, we will grow this church. When the spirit of the congregation is right, and we are quick to extend forgiveness to one another, people are drawn to that. There is so much discord and dissension in our culture and society now. When people come to church, they want a place of grace and to know they're accepted, forgiven, and to experience that grace-filled environment. You might say, well, how can I forgive a person if I was right and they were wrong? Do we know that forgiveness has nothing to do with being right and wrong? If you need evidence of this, those of you that have been married a long time, is it more important to be right or wrong or forgiven? Your Honor, I rest my case. Being right or wrong is not the real issue of forgiveness. It's about valuing the other person enough to move on. It's about, in a selfish sense, it's about valuing ourselves enough to move on. Because the lack of forgiveness is destructive. If we hold on to grudges, bitterness, and the like of memory, we become puppets of the past. If our memory controls us, and if we can't let the past go, and we cannot forgive, we are what Alexandra Asili says, puppets of the past. We're limited in the present, and we cannot see the future because we keep looking in the past. We need a spirit of forgiveness when we get it wrong in the church. As we begin 2020, we are moving into some new directions fueled by what we've learned from 2019. Can Shalimar United Methodist Church emerge stronger? I believe so. Part of our corporate body together, as we are individually working on our salvation and our sanctification, we're called to be more like Christ every day. That's also true of our congregation as a corporate soul together. And in our corporate soul together, we're still going to make mistakes. We're still going to have reasons to forgive in the future. What can be different is we can forgive more quickly. We can do it sooner instead of later. We can do it first instead of last. Knowing that this is of high kingdom significance anytime there is discord. So I'm asking for your help in growing towards sanctification in our church. This is an area that many of you are already sanctified in your own way, but we need everybody's help toward moving to this growth together in the church. When we joined the church, we were asked, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church, to the Shalimar United Methodist Church, and uphold it with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, service, and witness? And we said yes. But do not miss that word loyal. Loyalty is not out of style. It may be a lot of low priority for many, but it will never be out of style. Loyalty to Christ and the church is as much needed today as ever before. Let us not allow our loyalty to be diluted or fragmented, but let us live out our loyalty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Together with our loyalty to Christ, we can move into the future. I see two possible outcomes for Shalimar United Methodist Church into the future. And these are two scenarios, if you will. The first scenario, I do not like at all. But it's a trap that many churches fall into. I would encourage us not to follow scenario number one, which is we withhold forgiveness. And we await a time when more things are aligned. We just wait for better days in the church. We wait for different pastors. I hear those comments sometimes. We wait as if that's going to just bring everything into the kingdom day. But actually, this scenario is not good. It puts things under the surface that will be exposed later on. And the next time there is a challenge or there is a controversy, everything previously will flare up again. And it will be difficult for the church to move on as these flare-ups happen. And it happens in the life of many churches. They never get beyond some of their disagreements. Jesus told a story of cleaning a house. And he said, you cannot leave that clean house vacant, because if you do, seven spirits, even more evil, will come in and occupy the house. That is true with churches that never resolve their issues of forgiveness. They will reappear, and they will reappear in a greater form. You know already that the evil one loves to cause dissension in churches. That must be as the biggest creak and squeak in the door in the kingdom of heaven, when the evil one is actually laughing because he has caused discord in a church yet again. It's one of his greatest tactics. I've been fortunate enough to serve this church twice, and I'm an answer to a trivia question. Who is the only person that has ever been appointed to Shalimar United Methodist Church twice? 1983 to 1986 as your associate pastor, and 2014 to now as your lead pastor. And I want to share with you what I think you would agree with me with. We do not need any generational curses in the church. We do not need anything that reappears that has not been forgiven and resolved. We need to be about Christ's work. And it requires all of us here and now. The first scenario calls for us to ignore the spiritual strongholds that can limit a congregation. I say that there's no better day than today than to break any spiritual strongholds that are preventing us from being the church God wants us to become. That we should allow the help of the Holy Spirit to break these strongholds. So this first scenario is not good at all. It leads us to more and more dissension down the road. So I ask for your help with scenario number two. Scenario number two calls us to forgive each other. Be kind to one another. Treat each other as you want to be treated. To not point fingers, but rather to assume personal responsibility to ask for forgiveness. You know, if we all own up to our own need of forgiveness, and if we extend forgiveness, there are no real limitations for this great church. That's the one that's going to limit us the most, is when we have issues in which we have not brought them to the Lord for forgiveness. In our world that is so quick to blame and to sidestep responsibility, we look for the church to be different, a place of grace, a safe place, a compelling atmosphere where we can learn about Jesus and share Jesus, and we can experience his grace and extend his grace. In this positive, affirming environment, we can be the church. Really, the church. We can move from being internally focused. And churches sometimes, they just get so internally focused that it almost seems impossible to move beyond that internal focus and to move out into the mission, into the world. The internal focus makes church become about politics and makes church become about money and makes church about all kinds of things. But most people are not looking for churches like that. Most people are looking for churches that they can worship God and love everyone else in the church. That's what we're looking for. And so we need to be more than just an internally focused church. We've got staff members, we've got lay leaders that are elected to take care of the operations of the church. We all don't have to be consumed with that. It doesn't stop there. In fact, we begin to be at our best when we're externally focused. When we are what one theologian said, we know that we exist for the sake of the people not in the church. And that's when we know we're being the church, when we know that we're here for the sake of the people that are not in the church. So we want to move from internally focused to externally focused, but it doesn't end there. We also have an eternal focus. We move internally to externally to eternity. And we want to help people get to heaven. Next week, we begin a series during Lent about heaven. And I would invite you to come and hear more about heaven. That's our role as a church. We have internal needs, but we move. Our reason for existing is external needs, ministering to the community. And ultimately, we're helping people get into heaven. We're helping people learn the way through Jesus Christ to get into heaven. Know about that squeaky door. It got some WD-40 and it doesn't squeak anymore. Isn't that great? But how about those squeaky sounds in the church for lack of forgiveness? It'd be nice if we had WD-40 for that, right? But you know, we got something better than WD-40. God's Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for our sins. And for any who have sinned in this place, there is grace. There is grace in the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us our sins. Jesus calls us to forgive each other. And this forgiving is a dominant theme in the Lord's Prayer. In fact, it is the most dominant theme in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then if you keep reading through the Sermon on the Mount, a few verses lower than what we know as the Lord's Prayer, Jesus goes again and he says, if you've sinned, God will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, God will not forgive you. It's very important to not only receive forgiveness, but to offer forgiveness. So can we come to the door and let Jesus in, who knocks at the door and wants to come in and dwell with us? Can we end our squeaking, any unpleasant kingdom noises we have going on in the church? Can we turn the page and learn from lessons past? Can we move instead to Shalimar's greatest gift of all, our love for God and our love for each other? This week, let us allow God to forgive us. No, let's do that today. Let's allow God to forgive us. Let's not wait till this week. Let's do it today. Let's forgive those members in our family. And perhaps we need to ask forgiveness of our family. Let's do it today. Let us forgive others. Let's do it today. And let us forgive, especially those in the church. The ministry of Jesus is waiting on us. Let us be that church. Instead of squeaking doors, let us be what Jesus calls that city shining on a hill. Let your works so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your heavenly Father in heaven. Amen.
As we wait on the Lord, we can say, it is well with my soul. I invite you to stand as you are able, and let's bless the Lord as we sing and share together, please. Continue to testify as we share the gospel message together.
My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin.
Brothers and sisters, in Leviticus chapter 7, the Lord gives instructions for a peace offering, a sacrifice of well-being. It is fitting that we come to a place of peace with one another, and as we do, we make our offerings to God, whose Spirit leads us to peace. So let us give now of our tithes and our offerings in His name, as He leads us to everlasting life. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we know that You are a God of peace and forgiveness. Let us reflect that forgiveness in our own lives and give now our offerings in the spirit of peace and well-being. And with these gifts, it is well with our soul. And may Your grace extend beyond these walls to all the world. Amen.
thank you, dear church. I invite you to be seated for just a moment, please. It's a joy as your worship pastor to lead us to a time of responding to the Word of God today. And as part of that, I just want to share a little bit of my story, and hopefully that might resonate with some people here and help you understand a little bit more about the aspect of how important forgiveness is. When I was 19 years old, I walked out of the doors of the church. I said, I'm never going back. I'm done. And the reason that that had come to point is the church that I grew up in, where my dad was pastor, I had been nurtured and I had been, people just brought me to the point of accepting Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. They saw gifts and graces in me that they were helping to form and shape and mold. And then all of a sudden, things started kind of turning more internally. And those same people who helped form and shape me started kind of nipping at each other, yelping at each other, and then that turned toward my family. And it was not pleasant. Well, God gave me the opportunity of going to another church to be able to be their music director. I lasted there all of 6 months. Because when I got there and got into it, guess what? It was the same identical thing going on. I said, I don't have to do this. I'm done. And I literally, as I walked out the doors on that Wednesday night in June of 1979, I said, I'm never going back. And I wasn't talking about that church. I was talking about period. Well, my hiatus from the church did not last long, because another church contacted me and said, hey, we would love to talk to you about becoming our youth director out here. Well, okay, a job, okay, full-time job. That means I could get my own apartment. That means I don't have to pump gas for a living anymore. I'll take the job. And I saw it as simply that. It was a job. Well, because of the love of that church, the acceptance of who they are, because see, not only did they get me as their youth director, they got this Southern Baptist preacher kid who was engaged to a Roman Catholic girl. But you know, God worked all that out too. Through the love and the acceptance of this church, we were able to see what true love of God and love of others was all about. And because of that, Rhonda and I chose that this is what we need to do. I surrendered to ministry, and they sent us on our way as they ordained us to the gospel ministry, and we then went to seminary. Well, let me fast forward 30 years. And that's about as long as it takes to get through 30 years, you know. I had served at a church in Alabama for about 17 years, and things were going great. We were externally focused. We were eternally minded. We were leading people to Jesus. We really saw people come to Christ and make a difference in our community and around the world. Well, then we had some problems, some pretty serious problems. And because of that, the church turned inwardly. And as the church turned inwardly, there was a group of 13 people who took it upon themselves to say, well, this is the way our church is going to run. See, now, the church I was serving ran about 1,200 plus in worship every week. So 1% of the average attendance said, this is how it's going to be at our church. Well, new pastor was called. New pastor came in 6 weeks into his tenure. He said, hey, I want to talk to you for a minute. I walked into his office and said, you know, the direction this church is going in, there is not room for you here any longer. We want you to leave. So after 19 years, we packed our stuff and we walked away. The 13 people that said, oh, we'll let the new pastor do whatever he wants to do. You just have to go with it, just the way it is. Well, these are people that we had been in the house of God together with. We had done life together. We raised our kids together. Some of them were even choir members.
And that was hard. That hurt deeply. I mean, literally said, you're gone. No job, no church. 52 years old, and I had no idea what was going to happen next. Well, God had plans. He had ideas. And we came here. And just like that little rice farming community church accepted Rhonda and I for who we were and helped us discover what we were supposed to be, you have done the same thing. You have accepted us for who we are. You've seen us as we have redefined ourselves. You've seen us as we have grown together to make a difference in the kingdom of God. Now, here's the question that I want to ask you and how we're going to respond. Are we going to continue to be a church that accepts whomever comes in our path, sees the gifts and graces that God has given to them, see what part of God is in them, and help nurture them to be all God would have them to be? Or are we going to be the one that helps the 19-year-old kid walk out the door and say, I'm never going? I think I know your heart. I think I know what you really want to do. So if we're going to be the church that we seek to be, scenario two that Pastor Philip talked about, we have to forgive. First of all, I want to ask you, have you asked God to forgive you of your sins? Are you a Christian? Have you asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior? That is first, number one, and primary. Second thing is, do you have members in your family that you need to seek forgiveness from, or you need to forgive? You need to let go. Are there others that you need to seek forgiveness? Or is there someone in this church that you need to forgive, or you need to say, I ask you to forgive me? That's what the call is. Today, we're going to have a couple of hymns of invitation, and something you've probably never heard me say before, and probably very rarely that you'll ever hear me say, the singing of the words is not what's important right now. What's important is what is God speaking in your heart right now. Come to the altar. Pray. Go to someone. Speak to them. What is God telling you to do? His grace is manifest. His grace is so many times over we can't comprehend it. Let's be people of grace as grace has been shown to us. Charlie is going to lead us because I have the privilege of going over to the Family Life Center and sharing this as well. Let's stand as we're able and let's respond to God's call.